Let's open our Bibles together again to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Just a short text for this morning. And you do have an outline on the purple half sheet in your bulletin. You'll find that helpful. First Corinthians chapter 11, and we will read verses 23 through 26. So let's again give our careful hearing to God's word. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Twice in that short passage, we are told to observe the Lord's Supper in remembrance of Christ. It is a command that comes directly to us from Christ himself. He says, "Do this in remembrance of me." And in that command, we have one of the central meanings of this sacrament. We observe the Lord's Supper in remembrance of Christ. Now, we are all, no doubt, very familiar with those words. Many of us grew up in churches where those words were inscribed on a table in view of everyone. "Do this in remembrance of me." But what does that mean? What does it mean that we are to observe the Lord's Supper in remembrance of Christ? We hear this over and over again. Every time we come to the Lord's table, we read this passage and we hear this command from our Lord to do it in remembrance of him. But what does that really mean? What does our Lord have in mind when he asks us to do this in remembrance of him? In other words, are we just calling Jesus to mind? Are we being careful not to forget him? And I want us to think for a moment how we tend to use that word remember. We say things like, "Remember to lock the door." And what we mean by that is, don't forget to lock the door. Remember to lock the door. Don't forget to lock the door. This, to us, it means the same thing. And very often to us, our idea of remembrance is simply the opposite of forgetting. But when we read of remembrance in the Bible, what we find is something much richer and much deeper. It's more than just not forgetting something. Rather, as we will see, remembrance is an act of worship. In the Bible, remembrance is not just a past reality. It's not just trying not to forget something, but rather it is about a present relationship with our Savior. And so this morning, our goal will be to examine four different facets of biblical remembrance that will help us to understand what it means to remember Christ in the supper, to what Christ means, what he intends for us when he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." And so we see, first of all, that remembrance in the Lord's Supper involves turning to Christ in faith and for faith. And note that distinction, turning to Him in faith and for faith. In Psalm 22, we encounter this theme of remembrance, and it is given substance. Verse 27 of Psalm 22 reads this way, "All ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you." Now here we have what is called a parallelism, and we see these often in the Psalms, and they are helpful because they help define terms for us. A parallelism is it's just simply two lines that sometimes say the same thing, sometimes say opposite things. And what we have here is what's called a synonymous parallelism. Two lines that say the same thing. And here we see, and if you're filling in the blanks, this is your first blank, here we see that remembering the Lord is equated with turning to God and worshiping Him. It's equated with turning to God and worshiping Him. All ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all families of the nations shall worship before you. And so when we remember Christ at His table, that means that we are turning to Him and worshiping Him. We are turning to Him as our Savior and Lord and giving Him the worship that is due to His name. And so right off the bat, we see that remembrance is much more than just not forgetting something. Remembrance is an act of worship. We also see this theme of remembrance in that passage we read from 2 Timothy 2. In verse 8, Paul gives a command to remember something. He writes, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." And so there again, we are called to remember. And here's your second blank, the second subheading. And here, remembrance is equated with faith. It's equated with faith. It's not stated explicitly here, but it's implied. Where we are called to remember, and then there is a statement about the object of our faith. The object of our faith is Christ and His saving work. Paul says, remember. And then he gives us a bunch of things about the gospel that we are to remember. That Jesus is our Savior, that He lived in perfect obedience to the law of God, that He died for our sins, that He was raised from the dead. This is what we are to remember. And by calling us to remember, Paul doesn't mean that we are just to call this to mind, but rather, He wants us to embrace it by faith. And so as we come to the Lord's table and we remember Christ, we are turning to Christ in faith and for faith. And so in faith, we approach the Lord's table, we remember Christ, we receive and we rest upon Him by faith. By faith, we look beyond the mere symbols that are set on that table to the realities of the gospel, and we trust in Christ, and we trust His promises to us. But we also approach the table for greater faith. We approach the table for greater faith. No matter where we are in our walk with Christ, our faith is not what it should be. We are all people of little faith. We would all quickly admit that our faith needs to be strengthened. And so our posture toward Christ as we approach his table should be that of the man in Mark 9:24. That man who cried out to Jesus, "I believe, help my unbelief." We come to the table as people who believe. We wouldn't be coming otherwise. But yet we come as people knowing that our faith is weak, and so we say, I do believe, but Lord, help my unbelief. And we can come with confidence, knowing that the Lord's table is the place where the Savior, by His Spirit, draws near to us and strengthens us. It's where He builds us up in our faith. And so as you come to the table this morning, and you do it in remembrance of Christ, you are coming trusting in Him. And yet at the same time, you're acknowledging to Him that your faith is weak. And so come to the table looking to Him as the one who can give you greater faith, the one who can help your unbelief. And so remembering Christ and His supper means that you're turning to Him in faith and for greater faith. Secondly, remembrance in the supper involves proclaiming Christ. We see this in 1 Corinthians 11:26, where Paul says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." And here's your first subheading, the first set of blanks. Remembering Christ in the Lord's Supper involves a proclamation of Christ and His saving work. We're proclaiming something in this supper, and a proclamation is an announcement. It's a declaration of something. And it may seem like odd language to us, but we are actually preaching the gospel in the Lord's Supper. And that phrase that is used here, the Lord's death, proclaiming the Lord's death, it's a phrase that represents all of Christ's saving work. It encapsulates and summarizes the gospel. And so we are remembering all that He has done for us. We are remembering His life, His suffering, His death, His resurrection, His ongoing work for us. And when we come to the table proclaiming Christ, we proclaim Him in three ways. We first of all proclaim the Lord's death, we proclaim the gospel to our own hearts. We proclaim His payment for our sins. We proclaim His perfect obedience, His perfect righteousness in our place. We proclaim His love for us. We are very slow to believe the gospel. We are quick to forget it. We are quick to doubt God's love. And so there is a need for us to proclaim the gospel to ourselves again and again. And what we have in the Lord's Supper is a visual aid to help us do just that. To help us proclaim the gospel to our own hearts. But not only do we proclaim it to our own hearts, but when we come to the table, we proclaim the Lord's death to each other within the body. It's a reminder that we are a people. That we're not just a bunch of separate individuals, but we are a people that have been bought with the blood of Christ. We are a body. We are a group of believers for whom Christ gave His life. And so just like an ordinary meal brings a family together, so this meal is designed to bring us together, to remind us that we are a family who have been bought and paid for with the blood of Christ. And that is why in the early part of 1 Corinthians 11 and verses 17 through 22, Paul is so hard on the Corinthians for their divisions at the Lord's table. Because it is a meal that is designed to bring us together. It is a meal that proclaims our union with Christ. And in doing so, it proclaims our union with one another. And anything, any kind of division at the table is a tragic thing. Because in it, we are proclaiming that we are a blood-bought people. But finally, and we may not often think of it this way, but we proclaim the Lord's death to the world. The wicked, unbelieving world has been trying to forget about Christ for 2,000 years. The world is engaged in a tireless, relentless effort to try to forget Jesus Christ. And what we have in the Lord's Supper is a quiet and perpetual reminder to the world of the mighty work of Christ. The cross is quietly displayed to the world in this meal. And it will be a reminder to the wicked world of Christ and His work until He comes again. And so remembrance involves proclaiming Christ. But thirdly, it involves embracing Christ as your covenant representative. In verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 11, we see Paul link the idea of remembrance with the new covenant. He says, in the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so Christ calls us to remembrance while at the same time calling the cup the new covenant in His blood. And that means that the Lord's Supper is a vivid symbol, a vivid reminder of the covenant of grace. And so, and this is your first blank, when we approach the Lord's table, we need to recognize that remembrance is a covenant matter. It's a covenant matter. The Lord Himself links remembrance with His covenant with us. Remembering Christ at His table means embracing Christ as our covenant representative. In other words, we are taking hold of the one who did what we could not do. We're taking hold of the one who is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. We're taking hold of the one who possesses the righteousness that we lack. We're taking hold of the one in whom every spiritual blessing is to be found. And that is why it's no coincidence in the Lord's Supper that we are called to participation. We take and we eat and we take and we drink. There are actions involved. Actions that symbolize our need to fully and completely receive and rest upon Jesus. And our embracing Jesus means that we are driven out of ourselves. I laugh at my son when he plays out on that playground beside the church. He loves to pick up the sticks that fall off the tree. And he'll have sticks in both hands. Then he sees the basketball and he tries to pick up the basketball. And he gets frustrated and he can't do it. And I have to teach him, you need to let go of the sticks. You can't embrace something when you're holding on to something else. And that's a reminder to us as we come to the Lord's table that we must let go of our pathetic attempts at self-righteousness, our pathetic attempts to be right with God on our own. We need to let go of those things. And we need to embrace Christ. And that leads us to the next blank, the next subheading there. Each time that you come to the Lord's table, Jesus renews His covenant with you. He renews His covenant with you in this supper. He doesn't have to do that. He doesn't need to do that. But for our sake, He does. He reaffirms His commitment to you. It is though He is here reassuring you of His love and His commitment and His forgiveness of your sins. And so this morning, when Christ comes to you by His ministers, by His servants, and gives you the bread and the wine, that should be a vivid reminder to you that Christ never forgets His covenant with you. A vivid reminder of that truth that we sang at the opening of the service, that Christ will never forget His covenant with us. And so when you taste the bread, when you take and eat and take and drink, remember Christ and embrace Him as your covenant representative. As we examine ourselves, we will be confronted with our sin, with our failures, and that is all the more reason to embrace Him. He's not a God who is harsh and unloving. As we sang before the sermon, He is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He is gentle, He is kind, and we are invited to come to Him that we might receive grace upon grace. Now finally, remembering Christ in His supper involves obeying Him. In the passage we read from Psalm 119 earlier in the service, in verse 55 of that psalm, we find another one of those parallelisms that help us to define what it means to remember Christ. The psalmist writes, "I remember Your name in the night, O Lord, and keep Your law." Now here we see that remembering the Lord's name in the night is equated with keeping His law. And so we see that biblical remembrance involves obedience to the Lord. We see the same idea in the fourth commandment. We are told to remember the Sabbath day. But when we remember the Sabbath day, we are doing much more than just calling it to mind. There is an action involved. We are called to keep it holy, to set it aside, to make it special. And so remembering involves listening to God and obeying Him. And that brings us to the last set of blanks there. So when we observe the Lord's Supper, and we do it in remembrance of Christ, our remembrance is a renewal of our pledge to listen to and to obey Christ. Our remembrance, our taking part in the Lord's Supper, is a pledge to listen to and to obey. By taking and eating and taking and drinking, we are making a pledge. We are pledging to obey Him, to listen to Him. We examine ourselves for sin. We come to Christ for forgiveness. We turn away from our sin, and then we pledge new obedience to Him. But as we come to the Lord's table making that pledge, which we should, We should be making that pledge to obedience. We must at the very same time acknowledge our inability to fulfill that pledge on our own. In other words, we're not pledging in our own strength. We make that pledge in the grace and in the power of Christ and His Spirit. And so as we make that pledge to listen to and to obey Christ, we're at the very same time brought back full circle to Christ. We're brought back full circle to these other facets of remembrance. We come pledging our obedience, but at the same time we know we can't do it, and so we turn to Christ in faith and for greater faith, trusting that He must be the one through His Spirit to sanctify us and give us that growth. We proclaim Christ, we proclaim the gospel to ourselves, reminding ourselves that we are a forgiven people who are in Christ Jesus, and our obedience is only accomplished in Him. And as we pledge our obedience, we know that we will fail. And so we turn and embrace Christ as our covenant representative. We embrace the one who cleanses us from our disobedience. We embrace the one who is our substitute, obeyed perfectly in thought, word, and deed. Now, each one of us has a need this morning. Your faith might be wavering. You may be fighting discouragement or even despair. You might be facing a significant trial in your life. All of us are struggling against sin and temptation. All of us know that our love for Christ is not what it should be. We know that our love for one another is not what it should be. And whatever your struggle is this morning, and I don't mean to be overly simplistic with this, but whatever our struggles are, what we need is Christ. What we all need is more of Him. He is the one in whom every spiritual blessing is to be found. And at His table, we need to see the risen Christ who stands at His table ready to give us more of Himself. And so as you come to the table this morning, do so in remembrance of Christ. Come turning to Him in faith and for greater faith. Come proclaiming His death to your own hearts, to your brothers and sisters, to the dying world. Come embracing Him as your covenant representative. And come with a sincere pledge to listen to and to obey Him. Do this in remembrance of Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your patience with us. We know, O God, that we are prone to forget You and to forget Your promises. We are so prone to doubt. And so we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the sacraments that are a true means of grace to help us in our weakness. And as we come to Your table, Lord, we pray that You would help us to sincerely do it in remembrance of our Savior. Lord, that we would comprehend all that is involved in that remembrance, and that we would truly be able to turn to Christ in faith, and at the same time expecting our faith to be strengthened. Lord, that we would proclaim His death till He comes. or that we would be able to look beyond those signs and seals to the gospel reality. Lord, that we would be able to let go of our worthless attempts at self-righteousness and to embrace Christ, the one who has done it all. And that we would be able to sincerely pledge to walk in newness of life. We need your help to do this. And so we pray that your Spirit would aid us, that your Spirit would work mightily. We pray in the great name of Jesus. Amen.